Okay, hopefully at least some of you got the memo as far as what we're going to talk about today is we're going to base this on Romans 1, 18 through 32. If I don't know if you saw it or if you've read it in advance, but I'm going to start by reading that that set of scripture. So Romans 1, beginning in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Verse 27, in the same way, the men who also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. So here we see Paul having given a wide-ranging definitions of all the things that people do, in essence, because they have denied God. And up there in the verse that it says that they are without excuse. In other words, God's nature, God's design of this universe can be plainly seen in so many things. This particular thing was said by Paul. This was 2,000 years ago, before we had modern technology, and we know so much more about the design, the designs of this universe. For those of you who got the title and my topic in advance, have any of you thought about some of the things we could talk about as far as the examples of this universe, of the design of this universe? Okay, nobody did their homework? all right, okay, I came prepared just in case the rest of you didn't prepare. I'm going to talk about one particular thing. Well, I'll start with one amazing thing on this earth. Here we have water. This is one of the most abundant things on the face of the earth. Pure water is colorless, odorless, tasteless. But it's a vital thing on this earth. Water covers over two-thirds of the earth's surface. Most of it is ocean, which is always in movement. It's called the water cycle, also known as the hydrologic cycle. It talks about the continuous movement of water on Earth. Also, I was going to ask this quiz question before I started in, but there is only one compound on the face of this Earth that seems to go against physics, and that is water. Anybody know what the main thing water does that goes against the physics? Fred?
It freezes.
Okay. What happens when water freezes, though? It's what happens. Yes. Water is the only compound on Earth that expands before it freezes. Now, there's a very important thing that for water freezing. Does anybody know what this earth would be like as far as, call it God's design of one particular compound that does something different than every other compound on this earth and the significance of it? Anyone? Mike? No. Okay, the fact that it goes the other way, too. You're right. Water evaporates and becomes clouds, and that's another aspect of water. The clouds are able to water the earth. Joe?
If it went the other way, it would sink.
That perpetual ice that would have enough body. Exactly, yes. If water, when it froze, got compressed, like every other compound, every other element on this earth, water would sink. And you would just get lakes that would continue to build up ice, because instead of the ice being on top, ice would sink to the bottom. So basically, what would happen on this earth is our lakes would freeze, and we'd have very little time of that there'd be water in lakes. So in our freshwater bodies. So here is an example of God's design of the universe, that this planet wouldn't really be able to sustain life, or we'd literally be in an ice age all the time for something as simple as water freezing and coming to the top instead of going to the bottom. So there we have an example of what water does, what ice does, and makes this planet habitable. Try saying that three times fast. We've seen other things as far as the design. We have seen in the last less than 100 years, we have seen genetics. Man has studied more and more the intricate design of genetics as far as how we as human beings are formed and really how every other living thing on this earth is formed. So we have this baseline of genetics, what makes this life possible. And you could continue to ask the question, could this really have happened all at random? we talk about the idea of evolution. Now, some of that does take place. There are minor changes. We have changed over time. But did we go from, you know, pond scum over millions of years or billions of years to what we are now without a designer? Did we really get this far without a designer? Is that really possible? Isn't it easier to literally say it makes sense that we have a designer? We have somebody who designed this earth. There are just so many things. Where this earth is within our solar system itself, we're right at the right place with our distance from the sun, the spin of the earth, the axis, our tilt of 23.5 degrees, which gives us the seasons. We can just state item after item of how this earth has been designed, of how we as human beings have been designed, how the animals, and in a sense, look at the leeway that God has built into this earth. In other words, within plant and animal life, even as mankind has killed off a lot of plants and animals as far as they've gone extinct, and yet our great creator God, our designer, has designed it with enough leeway that things are being held together. In other words, it is my belief that if God hadn't been continuing to hold things together, that we probably wouldn't be here by now. Man would have already destroyed this earth. But because of God's plan, because of God's time frame, the earth has not yet, pardon my pun, I can't resist, gone to hell in a handbasket. Uh-oh, Dave's coming up. What have I done?
My batteries? Oh.
Okay, testing, 1, 2, 3. Am I back? Marlon? Okay. All right. Okay, like I've been talking about, I kind of open it up. What else can you think of that really demonstrates God's design on this earth that man really has no excuse? Any other thoughts? Fred?
A simple example but very profound that I've been thinking about lately. And I knew this fact to be true, but it just hit me really hard. That the air we breathe is 21% oxygen.
And
it maintained 21%.
Okay, in other words, in this case, 21% oxygen, the perfect balance within the earth as far as what maintains life. That brings up another interesting point, too, is it appears that as they've studied it, it looks like, I think it's pre-flood, the oxygen level from, if memory serves, was actually listed at 35%, that the oxygen level was higher pre-flood. And what that would seem to indicate is that's one of the factors that contributed to man living a much longer life, that Adam and the progenitors leading up to about the time of the flood, you know, most human beings lived nearly 1,000 years, which kind of is interesting thought about to God, a day is as 1,000 years. So if you think about it, little aside, man lived not quite one day as far as the way God would have viewed one day. So that was mankind's lifespan to begin with. But we could say that maybe also God realized by then, when he decided to destroy mankind from the earth, that he shortened the lifespan, because God also realized that the longer any individual seemed to live, the more evil they became. So again, we just see all these different ways that God designed things and maybe even made modifications in those designs over time. Anybody else think of things? Kendall. I'm sorry?
The creation of man himself, because it was something that's always been obvious to me that as a young kid even, is that at the beginning it says God created man in his own image. And sure, they say animals create tools, but their tools is a rock or a piece of grass they stick into an anthill or something. So they use things that were already created, but we're created after God's image and we're baby creators. I mean, we create drills that ears and parts, and no animal does that. So that proves to me, first of all, that we are baby creators, because we create roads, we create so many things. And animals, yes, they use tools, but they didn't build them tools. They picked them tools up off the ground.
Okay, so yeah, Kendall's example, for those of you who didn't hear, is man being created in God's image, and that part of that being created in God's image is we are also creators, that we have advanced far beyond the animals our ability to make our own tools. Some animals, yes, crudely use things as tools, maybe rocks or sticks or such, but no other creature has been able to build tools, to build and create the technology that mankind has created. Any other ideas? Yes, Ron. Okay, so Ron's comment was that basically having man and plant life together, that once again, let's say we need that symbiotic relationships. Plants not only provide our food, but plants actually provide most of our oxygen. Speaking of kind of what Fred had said, the balance of oxygen on this earth that we need to survive come from plants. So once again, we also have these incredible symbiotic relationships. Plants serve as food, plants serve to make oxygen, animals also serve other purposes. The incredible balances on this earth truly came from design. That once again, I keep coming back to the main title of my Bible study, Man is Without Excuse. And here we see what mankind has done, that basically, part of it, the way I would summarize is what we're told here in Romans by Paul is that God has kind of cut us loose for a while. God basically said, okay, if you're not going to believe me, if you're not going to believe all these incredible examples that I have given you, then I'm going to cut you loose. I'm going to let you off on your own. See if you can do better on your own. And look at what mankind has done. Look at where we are going. We really don't know how much time we have left. We kind of assume that we're getting close to the true end, to the time when mankind, it just won't be able to sustain this earth anymore. We, for those of you who read the prophetic times that Mr. Tuck sends out, we see that other countries are developing more advanced nuclear weapons. Who knows at what point that these are going to get used. Basically, it's been said that mankind has never developed a weapon that wasn't eventually used against his fellow man. And it really seems to be a matter of time. When is somebody either a country itself, Vladimir Putin of Russia, going to say, all right, let's push the button? Or is when some rogue state, some terrorist group gonna get hold of nuclear weapons and get things started? You know, it's a very precarious balance right now. And I come back to what I've said before. I personally believe that it's God's time frame that's holding things together. I really believe that mankind probably would have destroyed all life on this earth or been headed in that direction if it weren't for that God was holding things back. I really believe that God is interacting in a way that he's holding things back right now. But that, because it's his time frame. We know that he's told us basically in his word that it is his time frame. And if it had been man's time frame alone, we probably wouldn't be here, or Christ would have returned by now. I mean, I remember when I was younger, envisioning, and it may still be this way, that Christ's return could be literally as the nukes are flying that would destroy all mankind off this earth. And as we know, God has told us, he won't allow that to happen. He literally will intervene before mankind wipes all life off this earth. And if it were not the case, that probably will be coming or would have already happened. Again, I believe God is influencing things to hold it off at the moment. Anybody else have ideas, personal things they've seen that they would say just demonstrates the design of God upon this earth? Yes, Mike. Okay, the balance of sun, moon, the tides. We see so many examples given of the way that the earth is in balance. So many things in balance. Another aspect of this, another thing you could say is the design. Mankind figured out, you know, we got down to the atom. Neutrons, protons, electrons. And for a while, mankind thought those were the smallest particles, if you will. As we continue to look into that design, mankind has found smaller and smaller particles. And it begins to appear, and mankind is still looking, researchers are still looking, that there may actually be, it appears, a transition to where particles, mass, are energy. And again, this is somewhat of a Larryism, but we know God is spirit, and it would appear that spirit may be energy. And even things as simple as Albert Einstein's, I say simple, E equals MC squared, basically saying that my simplification of it is matter appears to be simply condensed energy. And could it be the idea that the reason God is aware of all things is that God has taken parts of himself, parts of energy, and condensed it into matter? Now, I say again, that's a Larryism. That's my kind of view on it. That is not necessarily a direct church position. But But you see these things, and it may be, once again, the reason that God is aware of all things is it may be that God is in all things, that all that makes up matter is basically, again, simplification, God having taken parts of himself and condensed it into energy, into matter, and that's what makes us up. Fred, did you have another comment? Yes, and if for those of you who didn't see it here, Fred said, basically God says, those right here, God's invisible qualities. In other words, the things that are not seen are made into those things which are seen. Ron, did you have a comment? Yes. Yes. What Ron's basic comment was that God slowed things way down at the Tower of Babel. The reason he separated mankind was that they were going too fast. That we probably man's advancements in technology would have been very much accelerated, and once again, in keeping to his time frame, he probably knew his projection was that mankind would have destroyed himself a lot sooner, thousands of years ago, because mankind, the technology would have advanced that quickly. So God essentially slowed down technological advance by destroying the Tower of Babel and separating mankind into different groups, different languages, or else, again, man probably would have very much accelerated his own destruction. Any other thoughts? Oh, Marlon. Yeah, Marlon was commented, for those of you who didn't hear, what's called the Fibonacci sequence. Basically, it's a mathematical term that for a lot of things follow this mathematical precision within the universe. From some of the smallest animals to certain things in the universe, certain structures in the universe all follow this same mathematical sequence called the Fibonacci sequence. So we have mankind, it's amazing what we can do. We can research. We can find these things. We can understand the basic balance within this universe, from the smallest to the grandest. It's just amazing what we can see and find in this universe. So it keeps coming back to my basis here is mankind is without excuse. We can see this design. And how can mankind in general deny a designer when we can see these designs so many places, within so many things? How can we deny that? Truly, how can we deny this design that we see? And as I say, Paul wrote these words 2,000 years ago. I'll give it to you if you can turn to it if you want. In Psalms 19, beginning in verse 1, going through verse 4, this was said another couple thousand years before Paul quoted that man was without excuse. So Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. Verse 3, they have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Again, here we have another example of God saying that all you have to do is look around and you can see evidence of God, that there truly is no excuse for denying God. And any other, that's pretty much, I'm gonna close on that. Anybody else have any closing, thoughts on the matter? Yes, Jim. Okay, Jim's comment was, even the most precision clocks that we have now would need adjustment, and yet the timing of the universe can be depended upon. Literally, the way we adjust our clocks now, we use the nuclear time frames to set our clocks. So once again, we use the precision of God to set our clocks to how we mark time. Anybody else? Any other final thoughts? Yes, Pam. Yeah, so, right. Our navigation is based on the stars. Basically, even with modern technology, we're still really using the stars as navigation, because the stars' places, we know where they're going to be. We can depend on the universe never changing, or even the adjustments. We know what's going on. We can see it. So, once again, I'll close with, we are without excuse. Mankind is truly without excuse for the existence of God. And with that, I'll dismiss the Bible study.